Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that tries to intersect faith, values, and hope through the lenses of all that's going on in our world, both locally and globally. It's a pleasure doing the show weekly. Thank you, listeners, for joining me, and also to my friends at Perry's Fine Jewelry, also Ruth Chris Steakhouse. We really do appreciate your sponsorship of the show. It allows me to keep going on weekly, now over 20 years. It's hard to believe. Well, the other day, I got an email from a lady that asked me if I could possibly call her. Her husband was not doing well physically. And she said, is there any way you could just talk to me and my husband about some hope? We're going through some difficult times. So I called her and did what I do best, I think, and that's listen and then give hope to her. And she said these words, you know, we can't get out very often, but I really enjoy listening to you on Sunday morning. You're kind of our church, but I especially love it when your wife is on the program with me. And I went, well, thank you so much. I kind of think she's special, too. Now over 42 years of marriage together. So I thought during the midst of this coronavirus, I'd not yet had the opportunity for Marilyn to come on the show and just talk with us about faith and hope and prayer, which is one of her specialties during this crisis. So on cue, here you are, my wife, Marilyn, of 42 plus years. This lady thinks you're incredible, as does her husband, as do I.
Well, thank you. And hello, whoever you are. Maybe I'll get to meet them one day.
We have the opportunity, Marilyn, to talk to people today about hope.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been a really interesting time. We were talking at some point this week about how these have been crazy days, and then over our 40-plus years of marriage, we've seen crazy days as well.
We've seen crazy days, yeah, but not like this.
We've never seen anything like this. The coronavirus is really unique in the crises that it has spawned in our lives, in this culture, in many of our friends' lives.
In the world.
And in the world.
Well, and the ripple effect continues to go on and on. But, you know, my daddy, who's 92, kind of called it at the beginning. If you remember, like the day after quarantine, this was back in March, and you might remember this conversation, but I called him. He still lives at home and helps take care of my mom.
Former World War II submarine
veteran.
Veterans.
Yeah, so he's got some diesel in his veins, you know, but he's just a very smart, he's very brilliant, among other things. And
like his daughter.
Well, I won't say that, but I did say, Daddy, have you ever seen anything like this? Because it was all still very new to us. We didn't even know terms like shelter in place and that type of thing. And I said, well, does this remind you of anything? And I thought he might hearken back to the days of 9/11 or who knows. I mean, there have been a lot of ups and downs, like you said, in our world in the last 40 years, for sure. But he said, you know, I really can't remember anything like this, the feeling that I'm sensing across the land, since the early days of World War II. And he said 1942 and 43. And,
interesting. Wow.
And I was like, wow, that's quite a perspective. What do you mean by that? And he said, well, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. In 42 and 43, we did not know how it was going to end up. We didn't know who was going to win the war. Things were very difficult then in terms of just the conditions here in the States and all over the world. But he said, we truly did not know how it was going to end up. We had not had that turning point where the power shifted and then we knew what we were going to win. And he said, with those kinds of uncertainties, you know, it calls for a whole lot of different character traits. You know, you have to look at perseverance. You have to look at what it means to work together. He says, I think nations are going to have to work together. But he said, it could end up being a positive time when it's all over, because you'll look back and see what types of things were forged in terms of strength. And you know, the jury's still out on this. We still got some learning and growing to do, both as a country and around the world.
But he made an interesting point, too. He said that during World War II, they didn't even know if they were going to win the war in the Pacific, especially where he was, for 2 years.
For 2 years. That's what I said, 1942 and 43.
That's just
for
amazing.
For 2 years, they didn't know.
And I just want to reemphasize
well,
that.
Well, I know. That's what and it should be reemphasized, because it's kind of staggering. Because, you know, we watch our World War II movies. We kind of like World War II history. Kind of, we're history buffs.
Yeah, and in 2 hours.
2 hours,
it's
and it's all solved, you know. And, of course, we're on the other side of history, so we know that America was victorious at the end of the war. And yet, can you imagine living in those conditions for 2 years. Blackouts at night, rations. We'd have been very sad not to have our coffee in the morning. But that's one of the minor things. I mean, there were major things that people had to deal with, not to mention so many families lost, you know, loved ones to the war. And so I think I'm talking to him frequently now, just kind of asking, how do we pace ourselves? I think that was the thing I took away from the conversation. And of course, now we're, what, five or six months down the road. And he's done pretty well. You know, he's had to really work at being quarantined, and he's done pretty well to keep his hopes up. And I think I would have to say, watching him, hope is a very muscular journey.
It is,
and
indeed.
It calls for perseverance, you know?
Well, I think what we want to do today is to reflect on our lives, and both of us have lived through
a number of things,
decades mm-hmm. of living together and apart, and then also remember people who've lived even longer than have and the things mm-hmm. they've gone through, and what we can draw upon to help us keep moving forward, not the least of which is faith mm-hmm. and prayer, which we'll talk about when we come back. Mm-hmm. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT, and we will be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. In studio with me is my best friend in all the world, but also someone whom I think has great insights into different things, especially different things spiritually, my wife, Marilyn. We have been married over 42 years.
42 years. Yeah. Can you believe it?
And you walked into faith not really expecting it. You were an atheist. You didn't believe in God, and God got hold of you.
Kicking and screaming, I would say.
Yeah. So you bring a real perspective to faith and values that few do, because a lot of us, myself mm-hmm. included, was raised in a Christian home with a great mom and dad. And I'm kind of like Timothy in the Bible. I never knew a day, really, when God was not real in our home and real to me. But you were more like an Apostle Paul, raised in a great home, a great mom and dad.
A Christian home. I was a great Christian home like yours, but I just looked around and I thought, I don't think there really is a God. You know, I just kind of had a lot of questions. Yeah. I was always a questioner. And so at 15, I just said, you know what? I don't think this stuff is real.
You chucked it.
Well, and I said, God, this was my last prayer. I said, God, I don't really think you're real. If I ever find out that you are, I will follow you, but I don't think you're real. And by college, I'd really stopped believing in God altogether. And at that point, I became pretty hostile to Christians, or at least I had great disdain. And but, you know, I had prayed that funny little prayer way back. And so God had a funny and interesting and very sneaky way of presenting himself to me through a book that somebody put in my hands. And when I least expected it, I'm reading that book. It was called Mere Christianity. And many of you know who C.S. Lewis is. And he was a former atheist as well. But when I got to a certain point in that book, I was like, oh, no, this is true.
Yeah.
I got to believe that this is true. There is a God, you know.
Yeah. And you had much more of like an Apostle Paul
dramatic
conversion.
And yours is more gradual.
Yeah. And then both are valid.
Both are valid.
But you bring a perspective on the coronavirus and what we're facing today in your faith journey that I think a lot of people would love to hear today. Mm. So we're trying to address the fears, anxieties that people are genuinely mm-hmm. feeling right now. I mean, it's a different kind of world.
Like we were talking about earlier, like my dad said, we've not seen anything quite like this. And there's that, probably that same kind of uncertainty. We don't know how it's going to all play out. You know?
We are all struggling, we're wondering, we're praying, we're hoping, and those really are the places where you've got to land with the praying and the hoping, mm-hmm. I think, because without that, you really do have despair and depression overtake your life.
Well, and that internal battle that people are facing is in many ways even harder than the external, and Daddy hearkened back to that in the war as well. You know, you have to keep your hopes alive every day. I mean, it's a daily battle. I think it's bad to try to say, where am I going to be a year from now? Because we don't know. But I think we can address what we need to do each day to keep our hope alive. You know, it's again, like I said earlier, it's a very muscular journey.
Well, the Apostle Paul, who had the dramatic conversion and actually saw a vision of Jesus, calls it the fight of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about a muscular Christian journey, that's what you're referring to. It really is a battle. It's a war. Talk about how you think it's a war.
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest things facing people anyway, forget coronavirus, forget all the events of the last 6 months, in this day and age in which we live, anxiety and worry are such a battle. And so it's interesting to me that in the Bible, I really think faith and fear are polar opposites. And I tend to be kind of a worrier by nature, much more so than you. And so I do have to fight it. And I do find that when I fight the fight of faith, and there's some very practical things I do to do that, when I fight the fight of faith and my faith grows, I notice that a byproduct of that is that fear decreases. Mm. You know, I can't really stare fear in the face and necessarily fight that, you know, a frontline assault. But when I build my faith, I do find that I have the great weapons to, it does tear down fear. I can't explain it, but I've noticed it. And you've seen that in me over and over and over and over.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because faith seems to be, biblically especially, the opposite of fear. Mm-hmm. There are purportedly hundreds of places in the Bible where it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you." Mm-hmm. That the antidote to fear seems to be, biblically, the presence of God. But as you said, fear and faith are directly opposite to one another.
Yeah.
So are we here today to say, and I know the answer to this because I've had to live it myself, that the best way to combat fear is to fight the fight of faith?
I think it is. And yet, you know, I say those words and some people might be going, "Oh, well, how in the world do I do that? Because how can I get rid of fear?" And I just think back to when I took martial arts in high school, and they taught us pretty early on, in between cheerleading seasons, I was looking for something to do, and I was kind of an athlete, and they, you know, said right off the bat to the women, "You're not stronger than an attacker. Forget that. You can't out-muscle your attacker. But you can use your attacker's power against him." And we learned several moves to actually use the force back against them. And I think fear and anxiety are really hard. They're kind of bigger than we are, but we can use those to kind of turn that back. I think that there is an evil one. I do believe that. And I think we can turn fear and faith, kind of the energy of that, into prayer and to, you know, reading God's word and to fighting the fight of faith. And when we use the fear and the anxiety as the energy to actually propel us into prayer, it's amazing. It's like a 1-2 punch, you know.
Well, let's stop for a second and once again state my belief as well that there is a diabolical, dark, malevolent enemy force in the universe. His different names are Satan, which means the destroyer. Mm-hmm. Another name is
the devil,
which means the divider. And we see that all around us today. Mm-hmm. In friendships,
in marriages,
in our nation right now, there's never been more division.
Yeah,
so
there is a divider.
If there is an enemy force who is stronger than we are, and we need to admit that, Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, our war isn't against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities of the darkness. Mm-hmm. If we try to use our own strength in combating that, that's like taking a water pistol to a rattlesnake. It just doesn't work. You've got to fight spiritual forces with spiritual armor. So we want today to talk about some of the things that people can practically do in their lives to help build their faith so that they can combat the evil one and have victory over him and fear decrease in their lives.
Well, and I don't think we're unusual. I mean, you and I have traveled all over the world, and we've seen people in all various kinds of cultures and places, and they know what it means to fight the forces of darkness. You know, that was really interesting for me when I first became a Christian. I became very aware that there is a dark side, you know, and the Bible talks about that so much. But the good news is that Jesus came and that he died on the cross for us and provided salvation. But in addition to that, he, you know, gives us the Holy Spirit, and there is a power. And of course, we've seen that power exercised probably more in what you would call developing nations, even than here. So we like to take lessons from what we've learned from people who may not have as much money or education or the things we count so dear, but they're very strong in their faith.
So that begins with believing, as you just mentioned, that Christ lives in you. And, you know, Christians believe that there's one God in three persons, that Christ equals the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So the very Holy Spirit who created the universe lives inside the hearts of those who believe. And so, therefore, we have in us that very power that allows us to fight the forces of darkness and overcome our fears. So the question then is, how do we utilize that force within us against those forces of darkness that try to attack? How do we take their energy against them and win the war?
And then know that we are joined by God and all of his heavenly angels and the whole forces of heaven.
Yeah. There are millions upon millions of angels.
He's got a lot at his
disposal,
right? But I think the first thing, you asked me what to do. I think the first thing, obviously, to admit that there's a battle. But secondly, become alert and watchful. You know, 1 Peter 4:7 says, be self-controlled and alert. so that you can pray. And this was in the midst of massive persecution. That book was written to Christians that were really, and, you know, lives were threatened every day. But be self-controlled and alert so that you can pray. So there must be some measure of alertness and watchfulness, and that just the commitment to go, okay, when I feel fear, I'm going to first pray. And I found this kind of came alive for me right after 9/11, because there was so much to worry about then. And I just took a journal and wrote down everything that was on my heart, like a worry list. And, you know, it's weird because there's actually some research that says that lessens anxiety just in itself to write it all down. Mm. But then I basically turned that into a prayer list of sorts. And, you know, that story, Charles Spurgeon, the great late 18th century English minister, said, turn your cares into prayers. And that's what I did. So that was the first step, to just, you know, say I'm going to be alert and watchful and then start praying and be very specific about how I prayed.
So I've learned in my own prayer life that prayer in and of itself doesn't have any power.
Not.
It is a wonderful spiritual discipline, but it has no power in itself.
Unless
it's the prayer of faith. And that it is praying actually faith, that you believe in your heart, the one who lives within you is expressing that faith, that you believe that he who lives in you is greater, stronger than the one who lives in the world, who's constantly attacking. So that care that you have when you turn it into prayer, it's not just a rote recitation
of words.
You've got to pray the prayer of faith.
And I think we pray with the biblical authority. I mean, again, one of the first things I noticed when I did become a believer was I had thought the Bible was a dead book. You know, I'd kind of given up on it, grew up in a church and would open the book and look at it and it made no sense. But the first thing I noticed after I became a Christian was, oh my gosh, this book is alive. You know, this is real. And the Bible talks so much about how your faith actually grows stronger when you start to read the Word of God. It's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And I noticed that there are certain promises threaded throughout Scripture that, boy, if those are true, then that's something I can stand on.
So one of the ways to pray the prayer of faith is to memorize the Scripture.
Or even just read it.
And then read it out loud even to those forces that are attacking or those feelings of fear that come into your heart. And the more you either memorize and speak those words or read and speak those words, that fear really does start to abate and go away.
Well, I'll give you a little nugget, a little example.
And why don't we do that when we come back?
Yeah,
we've got an illustration of how to actually use prayer, the prayer of faith, to overcome your cares, which overwhelm you sometime. And if we can learn how to do this, folks, if we can learn how to turn our cares into prayers, the prayers of faith, we really can start to see these anxieties start to go away. So people out there who are feeling fear about financial loss during the coronavirus, or feeling fear about job situations, or feeling fear about family members,
that's a big one.
We have a way to take all of those cares and turn them into a prayer of faith that can allow you to have victory over that and feelings of hope in your heart rather than that fear. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Come back and hear how to do this great discipline. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Well, if you'd like to hear the program from beginning to end in its entirety, please go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, and you can hear the podcast from beginning to end with my wife, Marilyn, my wife of now 42-plus years. Wow.
It's hard to believe.
It has gone by fast. And we have her in the studio occasionally to address different issues. The one we wanted to address today is just all the fear and anxiety that is in our world, mostly because of the coronavirus, but some of the other racial tensions and things going on have really caused people's hearts to be filled with anxiety and fear. Folks, you don't have to live there. And one thing the Scripture clearly teaches is for people of faith who have the Holy Spirit, God Himself, living inside of us, we have a power that can allow us to face our fears and not just face them, overcome them, and to live in hope. So before we took a break, Marilyn teased you, the listeners, saying, I've got a story I want to tell you about how to take your cares and turn them into the prayers of faith so that you can have that victory, that hope in your hearts. Tell us the story.
Well, and I was thinking, again, hearkening back to 9/11, when all of us, many of us, were so filled with fear. And I came across a really good verse in the Bible, and I thought, again, me being the former skeptic, I'm very concrete now in my faith and have been for decades. It's sort of like God's either real or he isn't. And if he is, then he's all real, you know. And if the Bible's true, then it's completely true. And so Philippians 4, it was written by Paul in a difficult time in his life.
He's in a prison cell, yes, chained to a wall, has Roman guards watching mm-hmm. him 24 hours a day.
And he says these words in the fourth chapter. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And the words in the New Living Translation go like this. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's already done. And then God's peace, which is greater than the human mind can comprehend, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, which to me sounds like an absence of worry. But I thought it was interesting. He said, don't worry about anything at all. But then that's where the idea was, instead, pray about everything. You know, we talked earlier in the show about using the force of your enemy against you, like I learned in martial arts. This is really saying, don't worry. Instead, pray.
So when the enemy brings worry to your mind,
you craft that into a prayer, you know. Mm. And again, if you're using scripture as one of your weapons and a foundation for your faith and a comfort and a promise, that's a pretty good weapon. I mean, that's what Jesus used himself when he was tempted. So I found that if I would kind of list these worries and write down specifics, it's amazing how many prayers over the days and weeks and months after 9/11 were answered. I started going, oh my gosh. And I then began to extend my prayers. At first it was all like, oh, keep us safe, you know, prayers for my family and blah, blah, blah. But I started praying for people beyond myself and then actually for other nations, because we knew the world was in turmoil then. And you know the story. I mean, here we are 20 years later, but that began to develop in my heart, a yearning to really know more about these other countries and what they were suffering and how God was at work in these places. And you and I ended up in many of these places ourselves over the years on various trips. It's funny how those doors opened.
Yeah. So you're saying that with the cares, you turn them into prayers for other places,
well,
other people.
But especially starting with your own needs and your own family, you know, the things that are really weighing on your heart. And then you have to ask God, well, show me who else is on your heart, because quite honestly, I wasn't even thinking about anybody else besides my own needs. And many of us might feel like that today. Well, I can't even think about anything beyond what I see in front of me. And so what we begin to do is say, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Begin to show me who is on your heart. I've even been doing this again. I've been having to repeat some of these lessons to myself in the coronavirus, because again, we're all faced with different levels of uncertainty. And some of the people that we love have big uncertainties.
So people who are asking practically right now, when I have a care, when mm-hmm. I have an anxiety, that one of the things I can do is counterpunch that with
turn it into a prayer.
A prayer for other people. I mean, making your own request known to God for sure. But when you jump outside yourself, there's a healing that does come to our hearts mm-hmm. in amazing and wonderful ways.
Yeah, it's a both and. You know, we pray for the person or the need that's so close to our heart, and then we also extend our prayers to beyond.
Well, then, interestingly, Paul, in that same verse, gives us another way to pray our cares away, and that's with prayers of thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So if your mind is the battlefield, and you've got to take every thought captive in order to have victory over those anxious thoughts, mm-hmm. you not only take them captive and usher them out, you've got to fill your mind with good things.
Yeah.
And one of the good things we can fill our minds with is constant, regular, daily prayers of thanksgiving. And you and I have talked about this a lot in our lives together. If people would pause and start giving thanks for all they have, they would be amazed at how many things mm-hmm. they have that are blessings in their lives. You know, in the old phraseology, we have count your blessings. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you start to develop a heart filled with thanksgiving, which is another great antidote to worry.
Well, and you and I have learned that lesson over and over again. Sometimes when we're in places where you might think that they don't have even enough to be thankful for, I will never forget the president of Burundi, a tiny little country in Africa. It was the twin of Rwanda, having just come out of a civil war. And we met this very godly man that was president. And when he came to America, and actually, you know, we got to meet him, and he said something like this. He said, you know, sometimes Americans forget to be thankful when you've gone through wars and things like we have. And it was a 10-year civil war. Rwanda's frenzy happened over a period of 4 months. Burundi was kind of the same conflict, but it lasted over 10 years. And so the nation was just ravaged.
And millions of people were brutally killed
in the genocide. It was a frightening thing to know that history as it began to unfold. People weren't aware of it beginning you know, when it happened. But
yeah,
then
some
after
call
the
it the silent genocide even today.
But anyway, Nurin Ziza said, you know, we as a people, we found that joy and gratitude help sustain us. And he said, you know, you might not think you have anything to be thankful for, but if you have two eyes, you know, if you have two eyes and if you have both of your legs, you can give thanks for that. And he started listing all the very things that we take for granted.
Because soldiers had lost a lot of those things in war.
Civilians had lost those things. And people had lost family members. But it's so interesting that when we were over there, I expected it to be kind of a depressing place, or, you know, you would feel the horror of what had happened. But didn't we were perplexed and kind of challenged. And I still keep in touch with some of these friends even today. At the muscular level of their faith, and I would say that joy was very present, but gratitude. And so it's interesting where you learn lessons in life sometimes in places you don't expect
to. And the way they sang,
the
and
worship
the way
and praise,
they danced in their worship. I mean, it was an unabashed openness to God and love for Him and thankfulness for all that they did have, not looking at what they didn't have. There was just a faith that touched both of our hearts.
It did touch our hearts. And you know, that's what I was alluding to earlier in the show when I said we've seen places where the power of God has moved mightily. That's one of the areas of the world where I have heard some of the most astounding stories of miracles. And again, I don't think God has favorites, but you know, when you're the most desperate, and they of course had been, I think that's sometimes when God shows up strongest. I mean, I talked to a young mother who actually had a child die, and she said she went and prayed for the child, and she told me this story later. She said, God, you did it for Elijah. You know, there's a story in the Bible about Elijah praying for a child that was raised from the dead. You know, you did it for Elijah, do it for me. And I thought she was going to tell me the end of the story was sad and she learned how to move on in life. But at the end of the story, there were several of us listening to her. At the end of the story, she said, and after my last time to go in my hut and pray for this child, he finally came back to life. And we were all astounded. I'm just like, this is real.
Mm. Well, when you only have Jesus, I guess that's all you can depend upon when
no
you're
medical
facing
doctor. Yes.
These crises and trials.
Yes. There were no doctors in her area. There was no other hope. And again, I don't think God has favorites, but I do think people's faith grows in some of these circumstances to mighty, mighty levels, you know.
So we would encourage all of our listeners right now that if you're going through a really tough fear trial, if the coronavirus has just weighed you down, if you feel burdened by all the racial tensions that are in our nation, if you're looking here locally at the school situation, which is just causing all kinds of frenetic feelings of anxiety among people, we would encourage you to use all those fears and turn them into prayers of faith. And then also make sure that a part of your prayer of faith is filled with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Make a Thanksgiving list if you have to. I mean, literally sit down and write down all the things for which you can be thankful for. I mean, like two eyes, two arms, two legs. I mean, 10 toes. I mean, be specific, like air to breathe, food to eat. Be specific, clothes to wear, you know, whatever that you have. And think about this, that if you have a car here and you are able to transport yourself, you're among the 90% of the richest people in the world. You have so many gifts and abilities that have been given to you. Make a list of those things. And when that Thanksgiving fills your heart, then you can change. I think I should have said that you're among the 10% of the richest people in the world if you drive a car. So just make that list of things that you have. And when you see what you have, you suddenly start to be thankful, and that faith increases and the fear starts to abate.
And I think, again, for me, this is for me, I do have to ground it in God's word. I go back to God's word every morning. You know, that's how I start things out. And then I'm very specific when God puts something on my heart to pray. So I think being specific is neat, because then you know when the answer comes.
Yeah. And when you take the scripture and memorize it, again, folks, if I can say that to you, you know, put it deep into your heart, meditate on it, and you have it always at your fingertips. And when that fear attacks again, and guess what? It will continue to attack again and again. You can speak faith to that particular attack and start to feel faith grow in your heart, and fear then will flee. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993. WBT will be. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. My guest today is my wife, Marilyn, and she has been beloved by many of you listeners through the years as she comes on the program occasionally with me, gives great faith perspectives, and I ask her to be on today just in light of the continued fears and anxieties in people's hearts because of the coronavirus, the racial tensions, and all the other problems our culture and the world are presently experiencing. We've talked today about the way to combat fear and anxiety really is through faith, but the prayers of faith particularly. Yeah. And one other thing we wanted to say to people, Marilyn, is go give your life away in some way or another. Be a hope giver. Be a moment of hope giver. We love that phrase because it's the name of our new church. But we believe if you'll just find a way to give a moment of hope to somebody else, your own fears start to abate. They start to go away.
Yeah, that's weird how that works. And I think that's a biblical principle. You know, you find your life when you give it away. And in the midst of this coronavirus, you know, with some of the quarantines and whatnot, it's harder to have interactions with people. But most of us have a phone. Most of us have a cell phone. We can pick it up and call somebody. And I have found during this time that if I'll just kind of listen for God's quiet voice, you know, and it takes some time to learn how to hear that. Training your heart to hear God's voice takes a little doing because there are a lot of other voices that come in your head. But
especially if you're listening to all the newscasts.
Well, we're also plugged into our screens. We have to detach sometimes.
So many voices, a cacophony of sounds going into our ears. Yeah. And we've got to get rid of those.
Every voice in your head is not from God. That's right. But over time, you start to learn to hear that. And I do ask God specifically. Remember, I'm the skeptic, original skeptic. So I'm very concrete in how I pray. And I will say things like, God, I want you to put on my heart today somebody that needs a word of encouragement or whatnot, and or even a stranger. You know, I've got friends all over the city that are in different neighborhoods, and then I somehow bump into these magic moments at grocery stores. I don't know how this works, but God puts people in my path that seem to need a word of encouragement. And if you're listening and alert and watchful, you know, you can give a word of encouragement to somebody. But I felt a nudge to call somebody the other day while I was out walking. And I would say that walking is a great thing right now during the coronavirus.
Yeah, get your exercise, folks. Don't do isolation with this coronavirus.
Yeah,
if you do, it only exacerbates the problem.
Find some way to get your blood moving and your, you know, blood pumping. But anyway, I called this friend, and we hadn't talked at least in a year and a half. And it was the most amazing conversation because she'd had me on her heart, too. And we've known each other for at least a decade. But we walked through a trial, you know, she was going through about 10 years ago. She was a foster mom and was doing a beautiful job with this baby. And it's a real long story. I won't get into it. But she lost custody. You know, she was hoping to adopt the baby. The baby was reunified with the birth family. Things did not work out, but it took like 3 or 4 years for my friend to get the little baby back. By that point, she was 4 or 5 years old, and it was pretty tough. She'd gone through some hard things. But what's interesting is, you know, sometimes when you don't talk to somebody in a while, in the year and a half or whatever that we've talked, the family, she has turned such a corner with this now almost 10-year-old child that she said you would just not know anything was ever wrong. And she said one of the things that helped has been during this time of the quarantine and coronavirus, there's been a special bonding that's taken place. And I thought, wow, a blessing in the midst of what seems like something that's not a blessing. But how neat that I called her. It was a blessing to me and that she had had me on her heart. So you think both of us kind of felt like, well, we got the God memo, you know?
Yeah, so we don't want to get too spiritually goofy when we talk about trying to hear God's voice. A lot of times it's just an impression.
Just an impression.
Yeah, it's perhaps you may quietly in your heart hear the name of someone that you're supposed to reach out to. Just be quiet enough, long enough to try to hear those impressions, to try to hear that still small voice inside of you.
And it shouldn't sound like an alien, you know?
Yeah, it would not. A loving voice of a loving father.
It speaks in a southern accent to me, you know? But I do think God does talk to us, you know, if we're quiet and we listen. And then you want to fill your mind with God's word. He's not going to ever tell you something that goes against his word. That's a real important boundary. But he will tell you, you know, people that are on his heart. You know, I've had that happen. You know me, our kids kind of laugh because they think that God listens so much when I talk. I said, well, I'm just willing to listen when he talks. So that's how it works.
So it might be a friend or a colleague or a family member that God impresses on your heart.
That needs you. Yeah.
So just reach out to
them.
Give them a call, text, email, whatever. Just reach out to them. But also you have taught as well, and I love this, you know, say to the Lord at the beginning of each day, bring into my path
somebody
who may need encouragement. It may be somebody who's on God's heart that you don't even know at the grocery store or wherever.
Or you might find out about a need. Maybe you don't know this situation personally, but you find out about a need in the community. There's so many needs right now. You and I both are so aware of just really incredible problems with hunger, and the list goes on and on and on, and joblessness and people losing their homes. But if you're a little overwhelmed by that, you know, you might have to say, well, I can't do everything.
But
I could do something.
Yeah.
And it might be that you feel compelled to give money to somebody in the community that is in the trenches making a difference. You know, maybe you can't get out of your house to go down there, but we've all got something we can give.
Yeah.
We've all got something we can give.
And then we can all pray. We can all just sit back and pray for somebody. That is a powerful thing, too. We can send money to organizations that are feeding people, clothing people, helping folks in dire need. Mm-hmm. We can do something.
We can do something.
And when all of us do something, we give this hope community, give this community hope.
Yeah.
We start to see hope making a difference in people's lives.
And oddly enough, it does make us healthier on the inside. And I want to go back to what you said about the exercise too, because I think that just is one more way. Remember I said at the beginning, this is a muscular journey. This time is not the time to chill out and be lazy, as much as we would all like to do that. And especially at the beginning, we're like, oh, okay, we'll just slow down a little bit. I have found, at least for me personally, this is a time to take seriously now my habits. What am I putting in my brain? You know, don't just slob out eating all day long, you know, eating Cheetos all day long. You know, try to take care of ourselves. Try to be faithful to get whatever kind of exercise we can tolerate. Don't just have endless hours on the screen. You know, we have to be self-controlled and alert, you know, and then pray.
Yep. So, folks, take care of your bodies, because your bodies are important.
Temple upkeep.
Take care of your souls, your emotions.
Yeah.
Watch what you watch all the time. Make sure you guard your brain. And we're also spirit. And maintain your spiritual life. Read the scripture, pray, and listen to God put on your heart somebody who might need to have hope today.
Today.
And when you do that, your own hope comes to you.
In a strange way,
whatever you
way,
give
it does,
out
yeah.
will come back to you. It's called the law of reciprocity. It's something that governs God's universe. Whatever you give out will come back to you. So we're body, soul, and spirit. Well, Marilyn, we only have a couple of minutes left, and we've tried to end every program over the last 5 months since this coronavirus happened in prayer. So would you begin us in prayer and pray for our listeners as they are trying to walk in faith and not by fear?
Not by fear. I'd be happy to. Thank you, David. Well, Father God, you know what's going on in this world. You knew what was all going to happen even before we did, and so this didn't catch you off guard. And you also have everything at your disposal to help us make it through. But, Lord, I do have the sense that we are to really face these problems that we are going through only one day at a time. And so I just pray that maybe something that we've said today will give people a way to walk step by step, keep ourselves strong. Lord, help us to stay faithful to you. Make us mindful of that person that might need your touch. But let us do it one day at a time. Don't let us become overwhelmed. Lord, keep us close to your heart. Every listener, you know, today, keep these listeners close to your heart. And whatever their needs are, I just pray even right now that they're formulating in their mind a way to turn that worry into a prayer, and then that you will give them words of promise and assurance from your word to stand on while they haven't quite yet seen the answer.
And Father, we just thank you for every listener who's here today. May this message give them hope, and may we be hope givers, because as we give out hope, hope comes back to us. Thank you for the privilege of walking with you. Keep people safe from the coronavirus. Heal those who might have it. And let us be together again next week in faith, in this faith journey. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone, talk with you all next week.